This is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.
And welcome to the Friday edition of Game Misconduct. I'm Don LaGreca. Let's get right to it. What a win for the New York Islanders last night over the Winnipeg Jets. First of all, you got to go to Winnipeg late in March. I mean, that's just going to kill a team that's trying to win a division. We're seeing this. Teams making Western Canadian trips late. Teams making West Coast trips late. West Coast teams making East Coast trips. We saw Arizona last weekend having to come here to the tri-state area to play. It's tough. The schedule can be tough. And Winnipeg, one of the best teams in the league, Islanders struggling to score goals. And they're battling with Washington, battling with Pittsburgh and the Metro, trying to get the division win, trying to get home ice advantage. And there's Winnipeg sitting on their schedule. And Scheifele scores on the power play, 6:46 into the third period to make it 4-2. And if you're an Islander fan, I wouldn't blame you if you just said, you know what, I got to get to bed. It's getting late. We're down two goals. You know, we're kind of limited right now offensively. Philpott has been out of the lineup. You know, are the Jets going to blow a two-goal lead in the third period? And lo and behold, Eberle gets a huge goal just like a minute 3 seconds later to make it 4-3, his 16th of the year. And then they come right back after that. Cizikas scores his 20th with the goaltender pulled, less than 2 minutes to play. Again, just a hard work in play in front of the net. And we talked about this with Vegas last year, right? Where how is Vegas doing it as an expansion team? Well, when you get William Karlsson to score 40-plus goals when he's never had more than nine, then you're going to be special. Well, you know, the Islanders get 20 goals out of Casey Cizikas. That means wins. That's why the Islanders are in the situation that they're in. He's never had double digits, and now he's got 20 goals on the season, ties the game up at four, and then Eberle gets his second shortly thereafter, and his 17th of the year. So the Islanders, just an unbelievable three consecutive goals in the final 12 minutes of the game, including two in the final 2 minutes of the game, to win the game in regulation. And it's a huge, huge win. They keep pace with Washington to beat Carolina. Keep an eye on the Hurricanes here, because they might be fading just a little bit as they get swept in the home and home against Washington, as the Caps become the first metropolitan team to clinch a playoff berth. And this after the Hurricanes had taken a 1-0 lead on the Niederreiter goal. But then Connolly ties it. Fogle makes it 2-1 Carolina to go into the third period with the lead, but Rana gets his 23rd, Dowd gets his 7th, and the game winner came with less than 5 minutes to play as the Hurricanes lose again. Washington clinches a playoff berth and now will try to set their sights on winning the division. So that was huge for the Islanders to be able to keep pace with the Capitals. Also, the biggest game of the night as far as the standings were concerned in Columbus, Blue Jackets and the Canadiens. Now, this might sound outlandish to somebody who watches the Blue Jackets every single day if you're a fan of that team, but on the outside looking in, this might be one of the biggest, if not the biggest, regular season wins that Columbus ever had. I mean, they needed to get this game directly competing with a team they're fighting with to make the playoffs. They've got a game in hand, got to win this game, got to win it in regulation. Montreal have been hot. Carey Price has been great. They never beat Carey Price. They hadn't beaten Carey Price since 2014. It's been 5 years since they beat him. And they spot the Canadiens an early goal on a fluky goal by Kulik a minute and 15 seconds in. So they're down, and they're down going into the second period. Savard ties it with his 7th. But then Petrie gets his 12th. So for the second time, the Blue Jackets are down. But watching this game, the building was alive. They were totally into it. They got how important this game was. Bjorkstrand gets his 18th to tie it. Panarin gets his 27th to take the lead going into the third period. And then it was all Blue Jackets after that. Three unanswered. Riley Nash gets his second. Bjorkstrand gets his second of the game, his 19th. Dubinsky puts it into the empty net. So a huge win for the Columbus Blue Jackets. They needed to get it. They needed to get in regulation. Now they're not out of the woods, but still they take over that second wild card spot. Now just a game, a point back of Carolina for that first wild card, thus trying to avoid the Tampa Bay Lightning in the first round. Now Columbus has two more row wins than Carolina. So Columbus in great shape to not only make the playoffs, but now avoid Tampa and get that first wild card. And now Carolina with the back-to-back losses. They have won 6 of their last 10, but the 2 straight losses, both in regulation. They've got to worry now about holding on to a playoff berth. They only have a 1-point lead on Montreal. They have one more row win, so Carolina's in good shape there. And Carolina's got a game in hand. So now the tables have turned. Now Montreal is the team that's in big-time trouble. They're at Winnipeg over the weekend. So Montreal, they've leaned on Carey Price. I think it's 10 straight starts for him. They're probably not going to start Niemi anytime soon. When you take a look at Montreal's schedule, which is a beast, by the way, take a look at this schedule and tell me if Montreal's not in trouble, okay? They finish up the month at Winnipeg. Again, these Eastern teams happen to go to Winnipeg. Then they're home against Tampa. Now, you could say Tampa's out of it. They've already clinched it. They might still want to finish with the best record ever in the NHL. But Tampa, even when they don't even try, they still can beat teams. Then you're at Washington, who's probably going to need that game to still try to win the division, even though they've clinched a playoff berth. And then their final game of the season's at home against Toronto. Now, Toronto may not need it. They may be locked in to that 3 seed, but you don't think that Toronto, on the last game of the season, isn't going to be motivated to knock the Canadiens out of the playoffs? So Montreal is in a huge, huge amount of trouble. If they could have gotten that win last night and they had their opportunities, they would have been in much, much better shape. But that one loss is absolutely killer. And we'll see if Montreal is going to go quietly into that good night. Other games, Stars beat the Oilers 3-2 in a shootout. The story in this one, though, Connor McDavid gets his 40th. So for the first time in forever, I think it's the first time since Jari Kurri and Carson that the Oilers have had two 40-goal scorers at the same time. Draisaitl scored again. He's got 47 on the season. But the Stars get a huge win. Again, Bishop is day-to-day, so Hudobin makes the start and gets the win. Dallas, I've said it before on this podcast, prove me wrong, in a wide-open Western Conference where Winnipeg's not playing great, Nashville's not as good as they were last year, Calgary's kind of dipped here late, San Jose's in free fall. They lost to the Blackhawks last night in regulation 5-4. They've clinched a playoff spot, but the Sharks have really hurt their chances of winning the division. Calgary's left it open with these back-to-back losses at home, scoring just one goal, and San Jose's haven't been able to take advantage of it, winning just 3 of their last 10. So when you look at the elite teams in the Western Conference, San Jose, Calgary, Winnipeg, Nashville, these teams all have kind of left the door open. So if I'm a St. Louis Blues, if I'm the Dallas Stars, I got to think that I can make a run. I mean, Bishop's been there before. You see the structure of the Stars, the way that they play. Montgomery's got them playing great defense. They've got scorers on that team, maybe not to the ilk that they have been in the back of their hockey card, but Sagan certainly can score. Radulov has been hot, scored again last night. This Dallas Stars team, with no pressure on them, they can play on the road. They've been amazing on the road this season. Dallas is very dangerous in the Western Conference, very, very dangerous. All right, let's take a look at the games tonight. We mentioned the Blues. They're going to be at the New York Rangers. Penguins and the Predators. That's a big game for both these teams. Predators trying to catch Winnipeg. Penguins trying to catch the Capitals and shake loose the Islanders. Other important games, Coyotes and Avalanche. How big is this game, right? I mean, this is a huge game out west. This is as big as the Columbus-Montreal game from last night. As we start play tonight, Arizona has 2 points back of Colorado for that final playoff spot. They're one back row win-wise, so a loss, especially in regulation for the Coyotes, probably kills them, okay? Both teams have 5 games remaining. So this is a huge, huge game for the Coyotes, and that should be a lot of fun. So that's going to be a big, big game tonight to try to see who's going to sneak into the playoffs. And again, I'm talking up Dallas. Either of these teams, Avalanche and Coyotes, get on a run here the last week and a half of the season, carry that into the playoffs, they can make a run. And the Wild and the Golden Knights, the Wild right now on a respirator, they desperately need this game for sure. The Wild sit, as we speak, with 79 points, so they are 4 back of Colorado, with the same amount of games played, same amount of row wins. So Minnesota's in that must-win mode tonight at Vegas, and that's always a very difficult spot. Vegas, again, maybe the door is cracked open again with San Jose free-falling for Vegas to start thinking about maybe getting home ice. They're 5 points back. They're way back in row wins. But when's San Jose going to win again? All right? Vegas and San Jose are going to play coming up on Saturday. If Vegas wins that game in regulation, you know, you're looking at 4 games left, just 3 points back. So Vegas, who has been locked in, it seemed, all year in third place in the Pacific Division, might take advantage of what's happening with the Sharks here and get home ice advantage. Vegas, another team. We've talked about it. We talked about it with guests earlier in the week. Tell me that that's not a tremendous spot for the Vegas Golden Knights with this wide-open Western Conference of possibly making a run. I tell you, the West is going to be crazy. I mean, you're probably not get any better than an even money bet that the Tampa is going to go to the final. It is so wide open in the West, it's ridiculous. So those teams, Dallas, St. Louis. St. Louis could still get home ice advantage and catch Nashville. Heck, who knows? Maybe they might be able to make some sort of a run here and win the division. Winnipeg's got 94 points. St. Louis sits with 90. And they also have a game in hand on Winnipeg. So who knows? Maybe St. Louis can even win the division. That's crazy what's happening with the Western Conference. All right, it's Friday. Friday means our top five.
Don LaGreca's Friday top five.
Yeah! All right, let's start at the top. Number five.
Number five.
And I just talked about them, the Blues, right? I mean, they're sitting there in 12th place in the National Hockey League, but in a very important month and a very important week to close out the season, they've won four in a row. They've got Nashville and Winnipeg shaking in their boots. Tarasenko's starting to score. I'm looking forward to seeing him live at Madison Square Garden tonight. This Blues team is going to be very interesting. Bennington has proven that he's no fluke, so they're getting the goaltending that they so richly deserved for so long and haven't been getting in years in St. Louis, it seems like. Blues may be poised here. Got to win tonight against the Rangers. Try to keep pace with the Joneses, especially a Rangers team that's reeling a little bit. So I got the Blues at five.
Number four.
Number four, the Pittsburgh Penguins. They've kind of been up and down for sure, but they're 6-2-2 in their last 10. They've won three in a row, putting pressure on the Islanders and the Washington Capitals in the Metropolitan Division. And they're doing it, and they're not even healthy, right? Letang's been out. Malkin has been out. They're going to get those guys healthy for the start of the playoffs. Pittsburgh's going to be a very, very dangerous team in the Eastern Conference. I don't think they're as good as Tampa, but they've been there and they've done that, and they're certainly deserving to be in the top five.
Number three.
Number three, I'm going to go with the Washington Capitals. They're also on a little bit of a toot here, winning three in a row. They faced the home-and-home against the Hurricanes and took care of business. Ovechkin is a goal away from 500, so they're starting to put things together here. Again, you don't have this feeling that they're the best team in the NHL at all, but they're coming off a Stanley Cup championship. They've been laying in the weeds, and they're getting goals from other places, too. Barkovsky's gotten big goals down the stretch. Verona got a big goal last night, so they're loaded. They've relied a lot on Ovechkin for sure, but with Wilson back in the fold now, I think that Washington can be poised to make a bit of a run here, and I've got them at number three.
Number two.
All right, I knock them off the top spot only because, well, only because the Lightning have kind of gotten hot again, but I've got Boston at number two. I mean, they're 6-4 over their last 10. Pasternak is back in the fold, had 5 points against the Rangers last night. Chara is starting to fight, so he's rested after missing some time. So that old body of 40, I think, is going to last throughout the postseason. Question is always going to be about the goaltending with Boston. I get it, but between Rask and if it has to be Halak, he's been there and done that before. So either of the two, I think I'd be comfortable with in a postseason and run, and obviously you want Rask to be the guy, but we'll see. But loaded, Carlo, McAvoy, all healthy on the blue line, and of course Marchand, Bergeron, they get the best line going in the National Hockey League. Boston, the one team I think's got the best shot to beat Tampa, and I got Boston at number two.
Number one.
Nothing to play for, and they're still 8-2 in their last 10. They've got a plus 100 goal differential. We've talked them up all year. There's nothing left to say. Tampa, to me, is number one, and I think they'll go into the playoffs as such. All right, let's hear from you. At Don LaGreca, hashtag Game Misconduct as we close out the week. Toady says, why do you feel that the mentality for tanking is different for hockey as opposed to other sports? Also, my wife thinks you have a great voice and has asked me to put the Ranger game on so she can listen. Glad she's getting into hockey. Well, anything I can do for you, Toady, I think it's great. And shout out to your wife as well. I think it's not so much the mentality. It's you've got a starting goaltender, right? And that goaltender is going to be motivated to win. And we've seen a goaltender be the difference. We've seen it down the stretch here, right? Jack Campbell's got a chance to start against the Calgary Flames, all right? He's going to be motivated to win. He's in Calgary and he makes 42 saves. He stands on his head. Kings have an awful effort, but Campbell stands on his head and the Kings win the game. You know, we saw that with Corey Schneider the other night. Certainly the Devils probably would benefit from losing. Sabres throw 42 shots at him. He's trying to make sure he can have a job next year. He makes 41 saves and the Devils win the game. So I think the goaltender is the X factor here. Plus, you know, in basketball, you've got a 15-man roster. You can rotate the bottom, the end of your bench. You can't do that in hockey, really. You're going to roll your four lines. Guys are going to want to play. guys out there aren't going to want to just skate around and get hurt. So I just think the way the game is structured, I think it's harder to tank. It's harder to just play kids and have significant players who want to add to their stats be healthy scratches. And again, whatever goaltender is going to be between the pipes is going to be completely motivated to win, especially if he's auditioning for a job. So I think that's where it comes from. JP55 says, I think this is a different question or difficult question to answer, but who do you think may have the easiest path to the Cup final? Well, obviously the Metropolitan Division teams, the top three avoid Tampa. So you can't say it's an Atlantic team because Boston's going to have to play Tampa in the second round. Or if Toronto wins, they're going to have to play Tampa in the second round, where the top three teams in the Metropolitan Division don't have to worry about Tampa till the conference finals. So that would be the easy question there. So if it's Pittsburgh, if it's the Islanders, if it's Washington, they have an easier path to the conference final than the Atlantic teams do. Now the West, it's hard to say because I really don't know who the best team is. Again, we were just discussing that, like who is the best team really in the Western Conference. Is it Calgary? I'm not sure of the way Calgary's playing right now. Shut out their last two games at home or scored one goal in their last two games at home. Winnipeg and Nashville don't seem to be the same. But I think the better teams right now seem to rely in the Central. So I would think that the easier path might be a Pacific Division team, a team like Vegas. If San Jose continues to struggle, that would be their first round matchup. Then they take on a Calgary Flame team with not a lot of experience in the postseason between the pipes, a Vegas team that has been there before just last year. So I know it's a difficult question and it's a very difficult answer, a complicated answer, but hopefully I gave you a little bit of guidance there. Tom says, 1 year ago, Scott Foster came in as an emergency goaltender for the Blackhawks. Do you have any good emergency goaltending backup stories? I think I remember one guy at the Ranger game was given a jersey with his nameplate, McBackup. I don't really. I mean, there's been great stories. There was a story, I forget his name. This is probably going back about 8-10 years ago, where there was like a teacher in Washington who had some backup goaltender experience, and the Capitals had to quickly sign him and put him in to a game. And of course, there's all the great stories back in the day when you didn't even have a backup goaltender back in the original six era, where the arena had to supply the backup goaltender. So think about that. I mean, let's say Montreal's playing Toronto in the playoffs, and you know Jacques Plante, the goaltender for the Canadiens, gets hurt. Toronto would supply the backup goaltender. An employee of the Toronto Maple Leafs would actually be playing for the Montreal Canadiens. How crazy is that? So nothing off the top of my head, but those are some of the things that did pop to mind. Ryan says, hey, Don, huge win for the Islanders last night, overcoming two separate two-goal deficits and Cizikas with goal number 20. Is this the type of defense they've won with all year? And if they're getting back to it, couldn't be coming at a better time? No, there's no question. The structure of the Islanders and what Barry Trotz has done with the Islanders team is built for the postseason, taking pressure off the goaltender, reducing the number of shots on goal, and you just hope that you can get individual efforts for a Barzal. They need him to wake up if this team's going to make a run, because they're going to need somebody to supply some offense, and he can't disappear for 13 games like he did a little bit earlier. The question is, who is going to be the goaltender? Is it going to be Leonard or is it going to be Greiss? Because both of them benefit from the structure, but I don't like the idea of alternating goaltenders, and it looks like Leonard, now that he's healthy, might actually get the nod. Calvin, hey Don, do you believe it's strictly on goaltending with the Sharks, or is it the players in front of him struggling, making Jones and Dell's jobs harder? I do think they need to come up with a couple of big saves to get some confidence back in the team. Thoughts? Well, my feeling is that if both goaltenders are struggling, is it the goaltenders or is what's happening in front of them? Because right now, I don't think you can be completely happy with anything that's happening with the Sharks now. Now, getting Carlson back is going to be huge, but here's the thing. Carlson's going to supply some offense, but he's not a shutdown defender. I mean, they really don't have shutdown defenders. I mean, Burns is a guy that supplies offense, right? Carlson's a guy that supplies offense. So you want to be able to kind of lock them down as best as you can. But at the same time, you're talking about 5 goals on 27 shots. So your goaltender, you're right, you got to do a better job. I mean, they've been disciplined. There was only 2 power play opportunities for the Blackhawks. I think that at this particular stage, the goaltending needs to be better. But everybody, I think, has to play better. But, you know, just the example of the Chicago game, you shouldn't give up 5 goals on 27 shots. I don't care how high quality it is. I think Jones can wake up. He's been to a Stanley Cup final before. We were talking about it with EJ earlier in the week. But at some point, is this a team that's just kind of laying in the weeds and will flip the switch come playoffs? Or is this a team that has been exposed and is just going to be an easy out? We're going to find out. But with their games remaining, I think they've got 5 games remaining. Might be a good idea for them to try to use those 5 games to get better. You don't want to be stumbling into the postseason winning 3 of your last 15 games or whatever if they don't win between now and the end of the season. Chris says, hi, Don. Good news. Looks like you'll finally get to see Carter Hart on Sunday. Also, any chance of getting Bill Clement as a guest? Great. Bill and I are very, I don't want to say close, but we're friends. We did shows on NHL Live together. I'm probably not going to see him on Sunday because the game's on national television, but I'd love to get Bill on. Maybe we can preview the postseason because I know he's very close with the rest of the league. I love Bill. Bill's a great guy. We talk every now and then. He's helped me quite a bit in my career. So that is an excellent suggestion, Chris, of getting Bill Clement on, and I will try to endeavor to do that at some point, either before the end of the regular season or in the playoffs. Forever TH says, what non-original six team are you pulling for most to win a Stanley Cup? I wouldn't mind the Sharks finally winning one eventually. I'm with you. I've always been partial to the Sharks. A couple of interesting reasons why. I mean, I always loved their uniforms. And I remember, and I might have told this story on Game Misconduct before, this is back in the early 90s, I actually won my hockey fantasy league because we actually had a waiver draft. Really, it was really intricate fantasy hockey that we were playing. We actually had a waiver draft, and I picked up Sandis Ozelnish in the waiver draft, and he almost single-handedly won that league for me. So I've always been partial to the Sharks. So that's probably a team that I would root for to win. Winnipeg, I think, would be a great story if they won the Cup. Nashville, I think, would be very good for the league if they had won. So those are some of the non-original six teams. I think it'd be great if the Islanders were to win a Cup again, but that would probably be the order of my rooting interest down the stretch. Matter of fact, if Winnipeg played San Jose, I probably would root for Winnipeg. Dan says, Islanders, Caps, Penguins fighting for the Metro could come down to game 82 next Saturday in D.C. between the Islanders and Caps. Huge comeback win for the Islanders last night on the road in a tough building. This is what it's all about. Am I right? Playoff hockey in March. Absolutely. I get so aggravated. I've said it so many times that when people say the regular season is meaningless, they just don't pay attention. The regular season is very meaningful, and there's going to be some pretty, pretty good hockey teams that are going to miss the playoffs this year. Montreal's a good hockey team. They may not make the playoffs, right? Arizona's been a great story, may not make the playoffs. Minnesota, I think, has got some talent. Likely not going to make the playoffs. So there's a lot of teams that are going to say, boy, I wish there was 10 more games left in the season, or maybe just 2 more games left in the season. I might have been able to sneak into the postseason. And just to answer the question from a couple of days ago, we almost saw it with the Bruins and the Panthers last year, that last game of the season where the Panthers needed to make it. If there's a tie and everybody's tied as far as road wins are concerned, plus minus goal differential, they will play a game to decide who goes to the playoffs. Now, what they would do if there are 3 teams tied, I'm not sure, but it looks like that's not going to be the case. So Washington and Pittsburgh might have to play a play-in game to decide who makes the playoffs or not if it ever came down to that. Donnell says, yo, Don, love the show. This is my question for you. Would you like the NHL for teams to wear their white jerseys at home again and their road teams to wear the color jerseys on the road? I don't know why they switched that. Well, I do know why they switched it. They switched it to honor the original six league where the colored jerseys were worn at home. But here's the thing. There's no variety for the team that comes into the building. So if you're a season ticket holder for whatever team, every team that comes into your building is going to be wearing the same color, and that's white. So I do wish they would go back to the old way. They did it, I think, at the start of the, the year before the lockout, I think, is when they switched to it. I think the 2003-04 season. I didn't like it then, and I certainly don't like it now. Irene says the Sharks have lost 7 in a row, 5 to non-playoff teams. Goaltending has been a problem all year, but at this point, could this be coaching or a confidence issue? They're missing Pabs, and of course, They're missing Carlson, but with the talent on this team, they're underperforming. You're right. You can't lose to non-playoff teams when you're a team flirting with winning the division. And as I mentioned, you know, if they took advantage of what's happened with Calgary here, they could be winning the division. Heck, they can win the conference, and they're blowing their chance to do that. So don't tell me they're locked in. Don't tell me that they're bored like Tampa is. Tampa's locked in. I get it. San Jose's not locked in. They could have won this conference, and they didn't do it because of the way that they're playing. So Pete DeBoer, he was under a lot of fire earlier in the season when the team got off to a slow start. So maybe this is just a slump. But I tell you, if they're one and done, there could be a coaching change there in San Jose. And before you say, well, wait a minute, he took them to a cup final. Well, he took the Devils to a cup final, too, if you remember, in 2012, and still ended up losing his job there. So I'm not sure that he's going to be on anything but shaky ground the rest of the way. And finally, M says, hey, Don, any chance you can do a draft show for us, lottery-bound fans? We will. EJ's definitely in touch with the draft. We'll try to get some guests. So certainly as we get closer, you know, we do it sporadically during the course of the offseason, M. I don't do it every day during the offseason, but we will do a draft show for sure. We'll have EJ on. There's a bunch of guys, Craig Button, who I've had on before talking about the draft. He's a friend. He knows the draft. He knows the scouting. He knows all these players that are playing in college and in junior. So we'll definitely get a draft show coming. There's no question about that. And Christina, let's do one last one. Last night, Dustin Brown passed Dave Taylor for most games played as a King. It's becoming more and more rare for a player to stay with one team for the majority, if not all, of his career. I'd love to hear your thoughts, and thank you for all that you do. Listen, Dustin Brown's been great. Part of two Stanley Cup championships, a rare American captain for sure. His days are obviously coming to an end now, and the game's maybe past him as far as the leadership is concerned, not wearing the C anymore. But you do see it in free agency and guys wanting to hang on. I think it's great. I think Hank wanting to finish as a Ranger, I think, is great. I think guys spending their entire careers here is something you want. And Dustin Brown may not go down as the greatest King of all time. Certainly he's not Gretzky. He's not Curry. He's not Robitaille. All those guys, by the way, did not spend their entire careers with the Kings for sure. But, it would be nice to just look at him and say he may not have been the greatest King of all, but he's one of the great players in this organization, couple of rings, and spent his entire career with the Kings. Drew Doughty, Jonathan Quick, other guys I think you'd love to see that were part of that core of those two championships, also spending their whole careers with the Los Angeles Kings. I think that would be great. All right, thanks so much for participating, everybody. If you want to get in touch with me over the weekend, you can do that at @DonLaGreca, hashtag Game Misconduct. And also, if anybody out there that's interested in listening, I'm going to be calling the FDNY-NYPD hockey game at Madison Square Garden for the second consecutive year tomorrow. Now, if you guys are in the area, the tri-state area here in New York, you can listen to it on 98.7 ESPN New York. You can stream it on ESPN New York if you're outside of the tri-state area. We're going to go on the air at 11:45 in the morning Eastern time. The face-off is supposed to be just before noon. They got to be off the ice by 2 because the Knicks are playing later that day. I'm going to be calling it with Dave Maloney. Had a lot of fun last year. These two teams do not like each other. They respect each other, obviously, because they both represent New York City and helping all the people out. They're heroes, for sure. But they do play hockey, and they also play it well. A lot of these guys played college hockey, junior hockey. So it might be a fun listen. So if you're in the area, 98.7 ESPN New York, definitely listen to it. Out of the area, you can stream it on the web and give it a listen. I'll have the call with Dave again. 11:45 Eastern will be the start of that coverage. And I'll also be calling the Ranger Flyer game on Sunday afternoon with Dave. So a lot of hockey coming up this weekend, a lot of important games. Back with you again on Monday. We'll have EJ Raddick on as we enter the final week of the regular season. So enjoy the weekend. Back with you again on Monday. This was the Friday edition of Game Misconduct.
Thanks for listening to the Game Misconduct podcast. Looking for more Don LaGreca? Hear him on the Michael K. Show weekdays from 3 to 7 p.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York and worldwide on the ESPN app. And don't forget to subscribe to the Game Misconduct podcast on the ESPN app, Google Play Music, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.